We welcome everyone to the first Lord's Day after the new year. If you haven't been in Texas before, welcome to Texas. 75 yesterday, 23 today. Great. First of all, we'd like to welcome all of our visitors. I do see we have some out there. If you would, take an opportunity to take out one of the cards in the pew in front of you and fill it out so we could have a record of your attendance, please. Just have a few announcements. Gladys is not here this morning. She's having a hard time dealing with some headache that she's had all week. Hopefully it's just sinuses, but she's not here with us today. We also obviously have multiple people not here this morning due to the cold, so let's remember all of them. I talked to Evie yesterday, and Sheila worked with the lady last week, and they were in a confined area. And when she wasn't feeling good, the next day Sheila got to feeling bad, called the lady, and the lady said, I was diagnosed with COVID today. So Sheila got it, and what a great daughter Sheila is. Sheila drove by that night and just missed her mom, stopped by long enough to give her a hug and talk to her. Evie has the COVID. So I talked to Evie. Is doing pretty good. She's got a little cough, and she's feeling kind of weak, but she was in good spirits, and you know how it was. She was out trying to do a little bit of yard work. She said, maybe I can work it out of me. So let's remember her and Sheila in our prayers so that they can get over that quickly and get back to be back with us soon. This morning, Alvy has our opening prayer, and Steve has our closing prayer. If you need to use the psalm book, it will be song number 883 for our first song, please. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Singing alleluia, alleluia. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Singing alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Singing alleluia, alleluia. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Singing alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Singing alleluia, alleluia. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Singing alleluia, alleluia.
Will you pray with me? Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to thee to this time, dear Lord, thanking thee for this wonderful time and this opportunity and this day that you've given us to come together here and to sing songs and praises unto thee, so that you, from this service, will be much glorified and honored. We pray, Father, that we do this and carry this out in such a way that it will happen. Father, at this time, we know that we have many that are struggling with illnesses, and we have some that are facing surgeries. Father, we'd pray that you'd be with them and help them in everything that you can, and be with the doctors that are ministering unto them, and pray that everything will just go just as well as it can, that they can regain their much-needed health. Father, through this course here, we have Dan Baum that is going to bring us this lesson. Father, we know that he has studied for it and prepared for it, and we pray, Father, that all our minds and our hearts will be cleared and open, that we can take this lesson and utilize it in our lives, that we can better ourselves as Christians and more so help someone along the way that is struggling. We have many that are out. We have a great number. We pray, Father, that you would be with them and whatever their needs, that they may come back to us and help us in numbers, that we can be better prepared to spread thy word. Father, we'd ask now that everything this day, this morning, will be done in accordance with thy word. I ask that you watch over us, guard us, lead us. This is our prayer to you through your son's most precious holy name. Amen.
If you'd like to, let's be standing for this, and afterwards we'll have our scripture reading and our lesson, please. Would you live for Jesus and be always pure and good? Would you walk with him within the narrow road? Would you have him bear your burden, carry all your load? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you have him make you free and follow at his call? Would you know the peace that comes by giving all? Would you have him save you so that you need never fall? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Would you in his kingdom find a place of constant rest? Would you prove him true each providential test? Would you in his service labor always at your best? Let him have his way with thee. His power can make you what you ought to be. His blood can cleanse your heart and make you free. His love can fill your soul and you will see 'twas best for him to have his way with thee. Please be seated.
This morning's scripture reading will be from the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. That's the book of Jude, chapter 1, verses 17 through 25. And the Bible reads, "You, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, in the last time there will be mockers, following after their own godly lust. These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And above, and have mercy on some who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some have mercy and fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now and forever. Amen.
Thank you, Bill, for doing our reading this morning. Appreciate that. I appreciate all the guys that come up here from time to time and read our passages of Scripture for us. Paul, you might remember, told Timothy, give attention to reading. So it's important that we take the time to read God's Word together. Thank you, Bill, for that and for all of the men who come up here and do that from time to time. Well, I guess welcome to the first Sunday of 2022. We are glad you are a part of this assembly. Glad for two reasons. It's very encouraging because it shows where your heart and your mind is. That you have decided to be here in this place at this time to worship God is such an inspiring encouragement. And you are an encouragement to everybody else that is here as well by your attendance and being a part of an assembly like this. So thank you so much for coming, and we hope and pray that you would come back so many more times throughout the course of this year. We have a number of visitors with us this morning, and we love to have you. We'd love to have you back just as soon as you possibly can to worship with us or be a part of our Bible classes or the fellowships or the different things that we're going to be involved in the course of this year. Just make this your home when you are in our area. Thank you so much for being here today. The Campbell Soup Company, let me talk about that as we get our time underway this morning. It's probably maybe a little bit dangerous to talk about soup so close to lunchtime, but I'll venture a little wager on this. The Campbell Soup Company has been in production for about 200 years, and the company has survived everything that you would understand would come across in the course of 200 years of time in business. A lot of difficulties and obstacles they've had to challenge. About 88 years ago, well, actually 88 years ago, almost 100 years ago, they released one of their most popular and their most productive soup lines. Now, I'm not going to ask for a show of hands or anything, but can you imagine what that line was, what that soup was? Well, while you're imagining that, let me put it on the screen. Chicken noodle soup, plain old chicken noodle soup. It was launched 88 years ago. It has three ingredients, right? Broth, chicken, and noodles. Not anything very special. It's been made like that for 88 years. Broth, chicken, and noodles. Has everyone here had chicken noodle soup? Let me see a show of hands. I think I should see every hand go up in the building. Everybody here has had chicken noodle soup. It's been their most profitable product. It has been their most productive product as well. Now, we're not here this morning to talk about chicken noodle soup. I've got your appetite going. Sorry about that. But I do want to make some spiritual parallels, some spiritual application. The last 2 years has seen a marketable increase in their product. I want you to think for just a minute what might be responsible for the increase in sales and popularity of the Campbell chicken noodle soup. And while you're thinking of that, let me tell you what it is. What caused that was COVID. COVID caused that. They did some research. They found out that that's why in the last 2 years their product has sold so much, because people were wanting a stable food product that has a very long shelf life. Well, it fits the bill, doesn't it? And so they just put it on their shelf, and when they want it, they come back and they get it. Well, the Scoop Soup Company has survived not just in very difficult times, but what I want you to get out of that is that they are thriving in very difficult times. Here's the question, our spiritual application. Can the church do that? Can the church not only survive in difficult times, but can the church thrive in difficult times? Brethren, we must believe that the church can do that. We must believe that God has put the church together in such a way that everything the church needs to survive in a time like ours, it can not only survive, but it can actually grow and build and do good in an environment like this. You know, one time Jesus said, as he was talking to his disciples, Peter in particular, he's talking about his church, and he said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Well, I believe that's true. I believe there's nothing in this world that can ever stop what the Lord is accomplishing through his church. Now, when we talk about the church, everything that we need to know about the church is identified within your New Testament. All of the ingredients are right here in your New Testament. Anything maybe you would want to know about the identity of the church, all you have to do is get your Bible out and look at it, because the identity of the church is here. Whatever maybe you would want to know about, well, how is the church governed? What does that structure look like? All you have to do is go to your Bible and you look and you can find. How is the church to worship? That's also right here. All the ingredients that God has put in the church is found in your New Testament. And I want to tell you that God has not changed his mind about the ingredients of the church. He's not changed his mind. The church is just exactly as God wants it to be. Now, the Bible tells us we're not to add anything to God's word. We're not to take anything away from it. And so obviously God has put the church together just like he wants it to be. And we dare not, we cannot, we must not, we should not in any way tamper with the ingredients that make up the Lord's church. But here's what we can do. We can change, we must change how we support the church. We have to do that. We have to do that. We have to give it everything that we have. We have to be totally involved in what the church is doing in this world and fully on board as to what God would have us to do as we live in this place. As we move into 2022 of this year, I want to talk to you on this first Lord's Day of this year, the importance of being engaged, fully engaged in what God has called us to do and what he expects us to be. And only by being fully immersed in the work of the Lord, fully immersed in what God has called us to do, can we as individuals grow, and then by extension the church can grow. Because obviously if all of us as individuals are growing and moving forward, even in difficult times, well then the church is doing the same thing. We're growing, we're moving forward, even in the midst of difficult times. Now in this passage that Bill read for us just a moment ago, we see the inspired instructions about just exactly what do we need to do in order to make that happen in our own lives. Now the book of Jude was born in a very challenging environment. In fact, just take the time to go through the one chapter letter of Jude. I don't even know that it's proper to call it a book. It's more in the letter form. Just go through that letter and count all the times the word ungodly appears. If you've never done that before, I think you'll be surprised at how many times that word appears. It's a very ungodly time, a very ungodly environment. And yet as Jude addresses the individuals to whom he's writing, he's telling them something very important in verse number 20. Here it is. "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, we'll take that verse apart here in just a little bit and kind of peel back those onion layers. But for right now, what I want you to see is in the midst of this ungodly environment, Jude never goes into a lot of specifics about what it may be, but in the midst of this very ungodly environment, what does Jude say? Jude says, build up. Build up. Building up yourselves. It is possible in an ungodly environment for the Christian and for the church to be building up and strengthening itself in this world. Now, if I might go a little bit further with that, let me just say that if you had a way to look at the original language, what you would find is that all of the verbs in verse 20 and then again in verse number 21, all of those verbs, they're all plural verbs. And so the writer is not just talking about the individual Christian, he's talking about for the church as well, for all of the Christians, sort of a, I don't know, a divine what's good for the goose is good for the gander. And if you and I are applying those things that Jude is talking about, then we'll be built up, we'll be strengthened, we'll be fully involved in the work that God has given us to do, and then the church will as well. So let's begin this list that Jude gives for us. And I want to begin with this one. If we're going to be building up and be strengthening and be better and be stronger, what that's going to mean is we're going to have to be fully engaged in a life of prayer. Saturate yourself in a life of prayer. That's the very first thing that Jude brings to our attention back here in verse number 20. And the Christian, you see, who is fully engaged in the process of building their own faith, and then by that building up the church as well, they recognize that they're dependent upon God. They're dependent upon God for their needs, their daily needs, for the little things, for the big things, and everything in between. A key element to having that strong, active, growing faith, a faith that can endure whatever conflict may come along, is to have an active prayer life. And in fact, if you'll notice at verse 20, where we started just a moment ago, the writer will say, "But ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Let's think about that phrase just a minute. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I want you to notice he did not say pray to the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. He said pray in the Holy Spirit. Well, what is that? What is prayer in the Holy Spirit or prayer in the Holy Ghost? The answer to that question is found back in John 16 and verse number 13. In John 16, Jesus was preparing His disciples for the time He was not going to be with them anymore. And He's telling them, "I'm going to send somebody else. I'm going to send another, a comforter. A comforter, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of truth is going to come. And He's going to guide you into all truth." And so as a result, when you and I are reading the words of the apostles, we're reading the inspired words of the New Testament, we're getting the Spirit's instruction. And so prayer in the Spirit is prayer that is prayed according to what the Scripture teaches us. And if we press the grammar a little bit, what we would also find is that Jude is telling them this in a tense, in a grammar selection that means you do this all the time. You just be praying all the time. You be praying in the Holy Spirit. You be praying in the Holy Ghost all the time. He's talking about an active, diligent prayer life, isn't he? He's talking about the Christians taking serious what Peter was to say in 1 Peter 5 and verse 7. When Peter said, casting all your cares on Him. The little things, the big things, all your cares, casting all your cares on Him, for He cares for you. It's not a thing different than what Paul told the Romans in Romans 12, in verse number 12, when Paul said, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, and my King James has it like this, continuing instant in prayer. Maybe your Bible rather says continuing constant in prayer. Or maybe it says continuing diligent in prayer. It's talking about that active prayer life, isn't it? You want to be fully engaged in building up yourself in this world and thereby the church being built up in this world, it's going to take an active prayer life. to the Philippians, the apostle to the Gentiles, put it like this in Philippians 4 and verse 6, when he said, be careful for nothing, or maybe your Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. Oh, I know that's really hard. We tend to like to be anxious about things and worry about things. But instead of that, instead of being careful or instead of being anxious, notice what he says, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. You see, that's how we deal with that problem of, well, what are we going to do about this? Or what's going to happen next in our world? That's how we deal with that. We bring everything to God. And let me ask you a question. Do we believe this passage? Do we believe James 5 and verse 16, where James says, confess your faults to one another and pray one for another that you may be healed? And then this last part, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Do we believe that? Do we believe that prayer avails much? Is prayer the first thing that you do when there are concerns that arise in your life, or maybe some kind of conflict or problem or difficulty? Is that the very first thing you do? Or is it something that you do after you've tried to fix the problem yourself? You see, what James is telling us and what Paul is telling us and what Jude is telling us is, you make prayer a priority. You make that the most important thing that you start your day with. Jude said the Christian praying in that way, he's building up their most holy faith. And when each individual Christian is strengthened, well, the whole church is strengthened. All of us are built up by that. I want you to think about the early church for just a minute. The early church was born into a world of conflict. And yet we're told about the early church, this statement in Acts 2 and verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, and breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now, I don't mean to minimize any one of those things that are mentioned in that passage, but please notice one of the things they continued steadfastly in was praying, isn't it? They're just praying all the time, praying all the time. And you and I have to be people just like that. What helped them to thrive and be strong in a world of conflict was being devoted to prayer. So let's try to make it stick. What about your prayer life? I have to examine myself and my prayer life, but what about your prayer life? Do you continue instant in prayer? Are you diligent? Are you fervent in prayer? We cannot deny that the way to be strong and to be growing is to be in constant communication with God. And if you don't have a regular prayer life, then commit yourself to that right now. Commit yourself that every single day, maybe multiple times during the day, whatever suits your need, you be praying all the time. Be praying all the time. We cannot be strong as individuals. We cannot be strong as a church without each of us praying diligently. Now, let me just throw this in. Maybe this will help. Maybe it won't. I don't know. But when it comes to prayer, think about these letters. PTA. Now, I'm not talking about the Parent Teacher Association. I'm talking about something much more important. Pray and think and act. Pray and think and act. The order of that's important. Before you think, pray. Before you act, pray. Pray all the time. Be diligent in prayer. So Jude tells us the importance. If you want to have a faith that is growing, if you want this congregation to be growing and fully engaged in the work of what God has given us to do, then be diligent in prayer. Now, it gives us a second thing to consider, and that is obedience as well. Jude will tell us in this passage back in Jude verses 20 and 21 to keep ourselves in the love of God. That's not a thing more than telling us to be diligent in our obedience to God. Keeping ourselves in the love of God is answered in a passage like John 14 and verse 15, where Jesus said, if you love me, what do you do? Well, if you love me, you keep my commandments. That's how we keep ourselves in such a manner that we are in the love of God. We are obeying what God has to say. And I don't know, by my way of thinking, that makes it pretty plain. If I want to keep myself in the love of God, I keep obeying what God tells me to do. I keep doing what God tells me to do. Here's what we must understand, and that is that church growth, just like the growth of you and I as individuals, that is not an event. It is not a one-time event. It is a process over time. It is something that happens over the course of time. There's not going to be one single thing that will come into your life, and that one single thing is the thing that caused about your growth. It doesn't happen like that for you as an individual. It doesn't happen like that for the church. There are those who proceed with the idea that, well, if we can just do this thing, if we can have a bake sale, if we can have a car wash, if we can do this thing, then that thing will cause the church to grow. But it doesn't happen like that, because church growth, like individual growth, is not an event. It is a process. Let me tell you, there is no quick fix to building up, not for you as an individual, not for this church as a whole. It's not going to happen like that. It's not going to be an overnight cure. It only happens when we day in and day out listen to what God tells us to do within the pages of His Word, and then we apply that to ourselves. We apply that to ourselves as individuals, and thereby we begin to grow and develop. And as all of us are doing that, then the church responds in exactly the same way. The church grows and develops. Apart from God's Word, what we need to understand is that without God's Word, man's like a leaky tire, somebody said one time, and you got to keep pumping him back up. But you know what? If you fill that same person with God's Word, you fill them up with God's Word because they're studying the Scriptures all the time, 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, and they're like those noble Bereans, they're searching out the Word of God. What's happening over time is you're not pumping up that person, you're filling up that person. And it comes to the point, Colossians 3 and verse 16, that the Word of God is then living in them. You take that living, active Word of God that is sharper than any two-edged sword, and you apply that to your life in obedience, and it just makes you stronger and stronger and stronger. And it happens exactly like that for you as a person, and it happens exactly like that for the church as well. As we all take that Word into our lives, we're diligent about studying it, we're diligent about applying it to our lives, then we all grow. And as we grow, then the church grows as well. The apostle to the Gentiles put it like this in 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, in a very familiar passage. And he says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. How do I know what's the right thing to do? Well, you go to God's Word, right? It's instruction in righteousness. Now look at the last verse. That the man of God may be perfect. Maybe your Bible there, instead of using the word perfect, uses the word complete. That you may be complete. How do you get to the point that you are perfect, that you are complete? Not that you'll ever be sinless. We'll sin from time to time. We'll fall short. But how do you get to that point? How do you get to that point where you're completely, you have everything you need? You get it from God's Word, by a saturation in God's Word. Paul told the Romans this in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, again in another very familiar passage. He said, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable, here it is again, perfect will of God. Well, how do we get that new mind? Paul talks about renewing your mind. You've got to have a new mind. How do you get that? You get that by a constant saturation of what God says. Keep studying it, keep learning it, keep applying it, and by that you're filling your life up with the Word of God. You fill up your life with the Word of God, you keep on obeying the Word of God, and you'll find you're making progress, you're moving forward. Maybe some of those problems and difficulties you've been dealing with in your life, they're not so prevalent anymore because you're handling them in the way that God chose to handle. And maybe some of the problems and difficulties and challenges and obstacles we find as a church, as all of us are building up on God's Word, what happens is some of those challenges aren't aren't quite the challenge they used to be because we're filled with God's Word. So obedience, fully engage in obedience. Be an individual, and then likewise the church will be a congregation built up in obeying the Word of God. Let's look at a third one Jude talks about. He's going to talk about focus a little bit. He will talk in these passages we've been looking at, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's verse number 21. Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what in the world does that mean, looking for the mercy? He's talking about looking for something, anticipating something, focusing in on something. Well, what is it? He's talking about the mercy, and he explains what he means by that. Look at the end of the verse. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. That ought to be your focus. That ought to be my focus. Eternal life. Eternal life. Not life in this world, but life in the world to come. And so he's telling us we've got to keep our focus on the goal. You know, that's how Jesus stayed faithful in the trials and difficulties that he faced. There's not a single one of us in this room this morning who is ever going to face anywhere near what Jesus faced. But how did Jesus deal with that? How did Jesus stay faithful to God? Well, look at Hebrews 12 in verse number 2, where the writer says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, he's going to tell us something about Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You see, Jesus understood that what was waiting for him back in his relationship with his Father was the goal. That's what he had to keep focused on. And when he kept focused on that, it helped him make it through the cross. And the truth of that has a very powerful application. It has a very practical application. Because you see, what you are looking for will radically impact who you are living for. Can I just say that again? What you are looking for will radically impact who you are living for. Here's what I mean by that. If you are looking to get ahead in this world, well, then you're going to live for yourself. Or you're going to live by the standards of this world. You're going to live by whatever it takes to do and accomplish being successful in the eyes of the world. That's going to be your focus. But if on the other hand, if you're looking towards Jesus, you're looking towards God, you're looking for eternal reward, then what you're going to do is you're going to live your life based upon what God's will is. Not your will, not the will of the standards of this world. You're going to live by God's will. And if eternity is what you're looking for, then Jesus is who you are living for. If your focus is on eternity, you're going to live by the word that will get you to eternity. Somebody put it like this. Somebody said, what you go after here, where you go after here, excuse me, determines what you go after here. Do you like that? Where you go after here determines what you go after here. So where's your focus? What's your mind on? What are you thinking about? What occupies your attention? After you leave life in this world, do you want to live eternally with God? Well, then what you've got to live for is a life that prepares you for that. Remember, Jesus said in John chapter 14, in the first six verses, he will make the statement, and I go to prepare, excuse me, a place for you. Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You've heard that for years. You've got to prepare. A lot of people want to go to heaven, but not everybody prepares to go to heaven. The difference is, where is your focus? What are you thinking about? What's occupying your mind? Is heaven your goal? Is heaven your focus? You do that and you'll build up your faith. You'll build a faith that is so strong. It doesn't matter how many ungodly things are around you, how many ungodly things are present in this world, you'll have a faith that can deal with that. You'll be fully engaged in doing what God gives you to do, and by extension, the church will as well. So what have we seen so far? We've seen that we're going to have to engage in an active life of prayer. If you want to build up yourselves, you want to live in a successful fashion, a fashion that that it doesn't matter what happens in the world. You're going to keep moving forward. Engage in prayer. Engage in obedience. Engage in obedience. Keep yourself in the love of God. That love of God demonstrated by obedience to His Word. And then you got to keep a good focus. You've got to keep your focus on what God says within His Word. Now let's deal with the last one that Jude talks about. And that is, you've got to keep yourself active in outreach as well. Do you find it interesting that the first few things Jude was telling us about, he was telling us about for our own selves. You do this, this, and this for yourself. Building up yourselves. All of those things are important for you as an individual. But what also is important for you as an individual is you be involved in outreach. You be involved in looking towards others. And so here we go. Here's Jude verse 22 and 23. And Jude will now talk about the importance of having an outlook that you're looking to help others. And on some, he will say in verse 22, have compassion, making a difference. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. This is how it reads in the New American Standard. And on some, have mercy. You're going to have to look to people around about you and have mercy on individuals. Mercy on those who are doubting. Save others, snatching them out of the fire. And on some, have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. I like how it also reads in the modern literal version, where Jude will say, and show mercy to some, making a distinction. But others, save in fear, seizing them out of the fire, hating even the tunic which has been stained from the flesh. Now, I don't know if anybody wears a tunic or not. That's not really my business. But Jude is telling us you've got to have that outlook. You've got to have that outlook of other individuals and what you can do to reach out and help them. Did you notice that a part of what helps you as a Christian and us as a church to move forward, to build up, to be strong, is to be engaged in reaching out to others? That's so important. It can't all just be about you as a person or me as an individual. We have to do things to help ourselves. We have to grow, 2 Peter 2 and verse 18. We have to grow up, Ephesians 4 and verse 15. We have to do those things, but we also have to reach out. We have to look to others. We have to keep our eye on how we can help other individuals. Let me ask you some questions. What if every one of us carried the gospel everywhere we went like Paul did? Everywhere the Apostle Paul went, he was taking the Word of God with him, wasn't he? And so you can read about, when you read the life of Paul, you can read about one of the most active, productive servants of the Lord anywhere in the Bible. He was always carrying the Word with him. You and I can do the very same thing. We can take it with us wherever we go. We can be talking to others everywhere we go. What if every single one of us had the attitude of Andrew? Every time you read about Andrew in your New Testament, what is Andrew doing? He's bringing somebody to Jesus every single time. What if all of us had an attitude like Andrew? What if every one of us had an attitude like that group of individuals who carried their sick friend to Jesus? And they wouldn't be stopped at anything till they got him to Jesus. Even took the tiles of the roof off the house to get this person to Jesus. What if we were all diligent like that? What if we were all like that five-talent man in Matthew 25 and verse number 16, who was given five talents? And you remember what he did with those five talents? Well, he made five more. What if that was true for every single one of us? What if every one of us in this assembly brought someone to Christ this year? Well, what that means is there going to have to be a lot of teaching. You've got to teach a lot of people to help convert even just one individual. But you see, outreach is so important. Outreach is so important. It helps you as a person be who you need to be, and it helps the church be what it needs to be. The Campbell Soup Company, well, it's thriving. It's thriving in the midst of a very difficult environment. Can the church do that? Can the church thrive? Well, Jude helps us to see this morning, not only can the church do that, But Judah shown us, this is how you do it. You do it by following those things that he has outlined for us. And it takes all of us doing that, doesn't it? Every single one of us, fully engaged in the things that Jude is talking about. And if we are fully engaged in this year, by the time we get to the end of this year, what a difference things will be. What a difference things will be in your life as an individual. What a difference will be in the life of this congregation as we move forward into this year. It's going to take a lot of diligence. It's going to take a lot of diligence in prayer. You and I being active, engaged, fully involved in bringing our concerns and our cares before God in prayer. It's going to take not only prayer, but it's going to take that active, obedient life. That I'm going to keep myself in the love of God. I'm going to keep doing what God gives me to do. It's going to take a good focus as well. A focus that this world is not my home, but the world to come, that's my home. And it's going to keep this active outreach look in my life that I'm always trying to find some individual I can talk to and help them. And along the way, there will be some with a good and honest heart who are willing to accept the gospel of Christ. That's what Jude tells us about being engaged and building up. If a soup company can do it, brethren, the church can do it. The church can do it. You and I can do it. We must commit ourselves to these things. This morning, if there's someone among us who is not yet a member of the body of Christ, I want you to know that your best decision here at the very beginning of this year, your best decision is decide to be a member of the body of Christ. To commit yourself in obedience to His Word, not just believing that Jesus is the Christ, but just be willing to confess that. I believe Jesus is the Christ. Repent, the Bible tells us, in Acts 2, verse 38, and be baptized. You're added to the body of Christ. You'll start this brand new year as a brand new babe in Christ. It will change your life. It will change everything about your life. I hope and pray that as we've studied God's Word this morning, it's encouraged someone in that way. If we can be of assistance to you like that or in any other way, why don't you right now come to the front and let that request be known as we stand and we sing this song together.
Must Jesus.